Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Happy New Year to everybody, and welcome to January 1st, 2015. And another year is behind us, and a new one has just opened up upon us. And who knows what it has to offer, but we do know one thing. It has to offer a new hour of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. And being 2015, we would definitely like you to join us on the phone lines at 347-989-1363. You can press the number 1, and you will be put into the queue, and your question will get put on the air, and we'll get you the answer immediately. And if you don't want to get put on the air, you can just email me at bowler900@sbcglobal.net. Ask me your question. I'll get you the answer. We'll get the answer back to you as quickly as possible. If you're a social butterfly and you like Facebook, please go to Tough Talk Radio Network or Lloyd S. Rosen. Check us out at those two places, and you'll find a lot of interesting things there. If you go to www.lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com, you can go there. You can click on the link that says register to be a guest. We'll get you registered. You'll fill out the form, and we'll get you on the radio at a specific date that you would like to be on. We'll talk about your book. We'll talk about your subject matter. We'll talk about whatever you'd like if you've got something that you think the world will definitely be interested in. You can go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com, where you learn about all the shows we have. We have a number of them all week long, and you can definitely follow each and every one of them. And each and every one of them is recorded, and you can listen to it on iTunes, download it onto your phone, and listen to it as many times as you'd like, because it's pre-recorded, and you can carry it around with you and listen to it as many times as you would like. Being the first show of 2015 today, I have a great show for you. We have two young ladies who have interests and messages to get out to everybody. My first guest is a young lady who has Parkinson's disease. She is a humor writer. She's an author. She's a public speaker. She's a former newspaper columnist. Her award-winning humor blog, Laugh Lines, includes her first posts about the comical side of living with Parkinson's. She is one of those people who does not, who takes her illness seriously, but doesn't stress about it, from what I can tell. And we'll be right back after these short messages to introduce you to my first guest.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today. Feeling burnt out or lost on where to go next? Feeling like you own a job instead of a business, or that your business is running you instead of you running it? Expert business advisor Mike Calderwood can help. Mike uses a personalized, strategic, and proven approach to help you identify what is and isn't working in your business. He'll then help you establish an action plan so your business can thrive. Mike Calderwood, providing you straightforward solutions to gain a real advantage in your business. Learn more at MikeCalderwood.net.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
New Year's. Welcome back to Life's Issues on this New Year's Day. We are getting ready to introduce one of the most funniest women I have ever had a chance to chat with. As I said before the break, she's a humor writer, an author, a public speaker, former newspaper columnist. She also has been featured on the Michael J. Fox Foundation website, Irma Bombeck's Writer's Workshop. She has authored a book called Shake, Rattle, and Roll With It, Living and Laughing with Parkinson's. And she's quite an interesting young lady. She was nice enough to send me some facts about her. Her dream vacation is a week at a dude ranch, which may sound interesting to some people. To me, it's fascinating. I love riding horses. I love being a cowboy. So that is a great thing to do. She likes to eat Pop-Tarts right out of the box. And she lived off of Kraft macaroni and cheese every single day for 2 years after college before she got a real job. At this time, I'd like to bring in Vicki Claflin. Vicki, how are you today?
I'm doing well, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Now, as I said in my monologue and in the introduction to you, you are a person with Parkinson's disease, if I'm saying that correctly. And
yes, I am.
And you've had it for a number of years?
I was diagnosed when I was 50, and I'm 58 now.
Okay. And you sat down and wrote the book, Shake, Rattle, and Roll With It, Living and Laughing with Parkinson's. Now, give me a time frame. You were diagnosed at 50. You're 58 now. When did you write the book?
Well, I started my first kind of coming out post was 2 years after I was diagnosed. And then I just started compiling the goofy anecdotal stories that happened to me along the way that I thought would shed a different light on it, different attitude about it, and eventually it culminated into a book. So it was a long process, but it was as I was living my life.
Would you say that you were a humorist and a comedian before this all came down, and that helped you through it, or did you become
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you absolutely had the sense of humor to use when you were told by the doctor that you had Parkinson's disease.
Yes, that innate part of my personality was there. My parents would call it complete irreverence and no boundaries, but that's what I had to work with. So it really was the only path I could do. I'm a writer, I'm a humorist, and so I just did what I do, basically.
When you say you're a humorist, would you say you are along the same lines as an Irma Bombeck was?
Yeah, it's just a humorist to me is not just somebody that's funny. It's somebody that looks at life in a humorous way. Whenever anything happens to me, that's kind of the first place I go is, well, that was goofy, or that was funny, or I need to share that with somebody because that's what I look for is what was funny about that, and I've done that all my life.
Now let me ask you a question before I get into the other questions about your book and Parkinson's and stuff like that. Do you have the sense of humor that you'll say something to somebody about an issue that happened in life, and they look at you like you've got three heads? Like, how can you say that? How could you make a joke about that? That's not very funny.
Yeah, I do. It's terrible because it's just the irreverence usually occurs at the most inopportune times. I tend to blurt out things. My husband always says, do you think before you speak or you just open your mouth and the words fall out? I said, well, sorry, but B.
I will be driving in the car with my girlfriend, and stuff will come out of my mouth, and she'll look at me, and she'll go, you're crazy. And I say to her, in this instance, you're right, because I have no idea, none, where that just came from. That just came not even from the brain to the mouth. It just came out of the mouth. So I don't know where it came from.
just open your mouth and it just falls out, and then you have to either retract it or hope to God they find it funny.
Yeah,
it happens to me daily.
Good. You and I are going to have a good time here. So getting back to the book, you're diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. What made you sit down and write the book?
That was an actual choice that I made because I wasn't thrilled to hear I had Parkinson's. People ask me all the time, well, were you ever upset? Well, of course I was upset. At the very beginning, I was devastated. My mother has it. My grandmother had it. I know what the future could hold. But within a short period of time, probably within a year or so, I just said, this is stupid. I can't, I'm 50 years old. I may live to be 85, 90 years old. I'm not going to spend 30 or 40 years depressed or angry. So I made a choice at that point to do what I do. And just start looking for the funny. If it wasn't presenting itself, I was going to find it, because that's the only way I can do this.
And so when you wrote the book and when you sat down and you said, I'm going to write the book, did you write it from a personal perspective that was all true, or did you write it from a fictional perspective and you were the main character that you're actually talking about?
No, that was because I didn't sit down to write a book. I started recording the experiences and eventually had enough material to say, gee, I should put this in a book. The book was never the end intent at the beginning. But in terms of, people ask me that all the time, did you spin these stories? No, actually, that's kind of the way they happened. It's just my presentation may appear to be a spin, but my husband gets asked all the time, did she really do that? And he said, oh, you have no idea. That is exactly how it happened. So, he's used to it.
Sounds very familiar to me. who are your readers? Who do you want to reach in terms of, are you reaching people who want to read a funny book? Or are you reaching people who have Parkinson's or what?
I get asked that question a lot. My market target, as it were, obviously people who have Parkinson's. That's the first layer. The second layer to me would be anybody who knows anyone with Parkinson's, family members, caregivers, friends, people whose lives are impacted by this disease who are scared because it can be a very frightening disease. They can't cure it. They don't know what causes it. Everybody progresses differently, so you don't know how it's going to manifest. The unknown is very scary, and what I'm trying to do is take that fear away just for a brief moment of time and say, this can be pretty silly. It just depends on how you want to look at it.
And a lot of the healing process in terms of any illness is how you look at it and how you mentally go forward with it. I know that for a fact. So,
it's not just
right.
A matter of laughing about it. It's a matter of, that's better for your body. Laughter, to me, has less side effects than the medication they give you. So let's start with that.
Well, we won't discuss the medications because I sit and listen to the advertisements on television, and I always say to myself and to Wendy, my girlfriend, you'd be better off not taking the medication and living with the illness than the side effects that they tell you can happen with. You wrote the one book. Now, do you have any other books in the works, or was this book just because of Parkinson and you're not really going to be a career writer, or have you thought about it?
I've thought about it. I get a lot of questions about it. I think my next book, the one that I'm tentatively working on, will be a compilation. I have a blog that's about midlife humor. It's called Laugh Lines and Marriage. It talks about marriage and modern life and all sorts of crazy things, epic fails. So I will probably introduce that just so that I'm not a one-note wonder. But there will be another book about Parkinson's. It's just not going to happen within the next 2 years.
Right, yeah, you got it out there. It's just you're not rushing to get it done. You're going to take your time with it.
No, right now I'm just all about getting this book out, and I'm pretty focused on this one book.
Now, this book, has it actually been published yet, or is it in the works?
Oh, yeah. You can get it at Amazon.com or on my website. It is published, and it's ready to go.
And what was the hardest part? I know I'm not going to blow my own horn because this is about you, but I've written a book and I've had it published, so I went through the whole editing process and everything, and I know the heartaches of writing a book and the time frame and stuff like that. What was the hardest part of writing the book for you?
Writing the book, the hardest part was the very first post, because I had been in denial up until then, and I didn't want people to know, and because I didn't want to be that woman with Parkinson's, you know. It took me a couple of years to actually write a post that I put up on my blog where I came out of the closet, as it were, and said, yes, I have this disease. So, and that's my first post is called "Today I Came Out on My Blog, No, It's Not What You Think." So it's, that was tough. Once I did that, it was sort of like the floodgates opened, and then I wrote about all the crazy, wacky things that it does to you. So, and then, of course, as you know, because you wrote a book, then you publish a book, and now you've got 10,000 of them in your garage, and now what do? Now you have to sell them.
Exactly.
So that was the next wall that I hit.
Either that or you wallpaper your house with each page. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely there.
Now, I know you're married now. Were you married when you were diagnosed at 50? Were you married then? Okay.
Yes,
so,
to the gentleman I'm married to now.
Right. Who was your support system? Who was the biggest supporter for you going through this?
Definitely my husband. He was, because he knew what this took. And interestingly enough, he's never read my book. He's never read one of my blog posts. He doesn't read my work. But he knows that when I go into the closet or my office and shut the door, he can't come in. Whether if the house is on fire, just call me later, because I'm writing. And he doesn't ask, but he cheers me on and lets me have all the time to write that I need. And so, you know, if you can't, I don't imagine you could do anything this intense if you didn't have a supportive partner. That I just don't see how that would work.
I'm sitting here thinking, because when I wrote my book, I was married to my second wife, and now I am dating a young lady, and the difference between the support I got from my second wife in writing the book and the young lady I'm dating now is like night and day. So I understand totally where you're coming from. Let me do my job and support me in the way that you want to, but please don't be behind my shoulder and, you know, telling me what to do and how to do it and everything. That's my job. And
understand
that. Yeah. I mean, because like you said, he's never read any of your stuff. So all he knows is that he has to support you emotionally and spiritually, and not knowing what you're writing, but not caring either
and
what you're writing.
He says that. He said he doesn't want to get involved in content discussions. Because he also knows a lot of that. He's in a lot of these posts, and he said, I don't even want to know, because I don't want to get into those discussions with you. I just want to believe in you and launch you and leave the content to you. And I think that it's great. I can't ask for more than that.
It sounds kind of funny to me. I mean, having this conversation with you and hearing your answers, because after I wrote the book, my mother, who's 85, kept saying to me, when am I going to get a copy? And I said, well, you can go online and buy a copy if you want a copy. But my point was that she wasn't going to get a copy from me, because a lot of what I wrote in my book had to do with my personal upbringing with her as the person who was bringing me up, and I didn't necessarily agree with it. Yeah, I didn't necessarily agree with it.
That's a little slippery slope.
Isn't it? So, you know, now I've republished the book, and it's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks, and I told her she could have a copy of the new book, which makes her a different light. And she goes, I want to read the first one. I want to read the first one. I'm like, oh, no. Sorry.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Nah. We want to be mom and daughter. I mean, mom and son. We don't want this kind of stuff. yeah, it's very hard. I understand where you're coming from. The criticism that you've gotten. What has been the toughest criticism given to you as an author? And what has been the greatest compliment? Because I know as an author, I get the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Probably the one that confused me the most was a woman sent me kind of a short but blistering email saying that she had had Parkinson's and she was having all these problems, and I didn't understand the seriousness of the disease, and I was being flippant. And I emailed her back and I said, respectfully, I absolutely understand the seriousness of it. I have it. How can I not understand the seriousness of it? If you've ever looked up WebMD, you get it. So I thought, well, that's not you know, and I'm sorry that she felt that way. But on a better note, the best thing that ever happened, I guess, and this was recent. I just got an email from a woman who bought a book for her 80-year-old mother-in-law who had Parkinson's for 30 years, and in their house it was forbidden to be discussed, ever. You could not bring it up. You couldn't refer to it. You couldn't talk about her medication, nothing, zero. And she bought her this book a couple of weeks before Christmas, and she said her mother-in-law called her and said, I read it last night in one sitting, and now they talk about Parkinson's like it's the weather. She said, it's the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen. And I was so moved, I framed it and put it up on my wall. But I love that because I feel like it matters. You know, it was a humor book, and maybe it mattered to somebody.
Well, you must feel, you know, for lack of a better description, you must feel like $1 million when someone tells you that it's not discussed in their house, and then they send you an email that they read the book, and now it's discussed, like you said, as the weather. And so you basically have changed a family's life.
Oh, I mean, I got teary-eyed. It was, maybe this will get old someday, but I don't think so. And I, you know, I have a scrapbook, and I have a little frames that I put this stuff in. It just kind of reminds me that there's maybe more to this book than I thought there would be. So I love that. And like I say, I keep logs of those kind of emails because they keep me going through the tough times.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I know for me, dealing with what I wrote my book about, it's the same way, so I totally get it. Who your audience and your readers, is there a message that you want your readers to grasp when they're done reading?
There is. You know, after all of these, you know, offering up my most embarrassing life moments, what I want them to get is that life is not over because you have Parkinson's. You have Parkinson's. You aren't Parkinson's. It's, you know, a lot of people, as soon as they get something like this, their whole life stops, and that becomes the focal point of everything that they think and do. And it doesn't need to be that way. There's so much laughter and so much joy to be had. You just put Parkinson's on your bus and just move on. You know, it doesn't need to drive. We were talking about that earlier.
Very true. And that goes not just for Parkinson's. That goes for anything. You know, that goes for certain cancers, that goes for diabetes, that goes for anything that is an illness that can be, quote-unquote, controlled. And
Well, we tell that to people all the time. You can just put this in your computer, subtract the word Parkinson's, and replace it with about anything. You know, any emotional upheaval or health issue that someone has can be looked at differently. That's just a choice.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's a choice how you want to decide how to live with the illness that you have. You can curl up and be a little fetus in the corner, or you can get out and scream from the top of the roofs that you have it and you're living with it and you're not going to let it control you. You are going to learn how to control it.
Absolutely. And I tell people that all the time. I said the good news in my presentations, the good news is Parkinson's doesn't kill you. The bad news is Parkinson's doesn't kill you. You're going to have to live with it for 30, 40 years. So it's like, you know, how are you going to respond to that? What are you going to do with something you're going to have 20, 30, 40 years, God willing? So that's a long time to be depressed.
Yeah, and I'm not asking you this next question out of ignorance because I really haven't studied the illness that much. But Parkinson's, you just said, it doesn't kill you. So you live for 30 years with it. Is it a debilitating illness that will eventually kill you, or are there side effects from Parkinson's that do you in after the 30, 40 years?
It's a degenerative progressive disease. Everybody progresses at different rates. Some people not at all. Some people quickly in the first year. Everybody's different. That's another unknown about it. But I hear all the time, well, my grandfather died from Parkinson's, or my, you know, aunt died from Parkinson's. You don't die from Parkinson's. You die with Parkinson's. So granted, it may reduce your immune system to something else, but Parkinson's is not a direct cause of premature demise. It's a condition you live with.
Okay. All right. I got it. And it makes perfect sense. It's kind of like, I don't want to use the connotation here, but if I remember correctly what I've learned about HIV and AIDS, it's not the HIV and AIDS that kill you. It's the side illnesses that you get because you have the issue with your immune system. Exactly. So tell me, what would you suggest for people who are aspiring writers that have a topic that they're living with that they want to write about?
Probably my best advice, twofold. One, keep writing. Don't let anybody talk you out of it, because people will try to tell you that. And two, for the love of God, do not go on the Internet and look up possibilities of book writing, because they will all tell you the same thing. You know, you'll never get it published. Big publishing houses don't look at small authors. You'll never sell more than 100 books, and that's only to family and friends. I mean, the Internet is horrible for new writers, aspiring writers. So stay off the Internet, write your book, self-publish if you have to, and move forward. If you have a message, people will want to hear it, and it will surprise you, the people that will want to hear it. It just happens to me every day. So that would be what I would say, is just do it and don't look back.
And that's absolutely great advice, because, you know, you're right. You do get on the Internet, you do read about publishing a book, and they do talk about, because I've read it myself when I was publishing my book, they talk about you won't sell 100 copies, and those will be to family and friends. And I heard the same thing. In fact, you know what was so funny about me is I heard those exact same things, not from the Internet. I heard them from the friends and family that were the ones who were supposed to be the ones that were going to buy the book. So
it was
just very hard for me. And I said, you know what? Nobody's going to stand in my way. My family in the past has always been totally negative, because they couldn't do something that I would be willing to step off the deep end to try. So they always negatively, you know, they say, oh, you don't want to do that. What do you want to do that for? There's no money in it. You know what?
I heard that.
There's a self-satisfaction in writing a book that money cannot give you.
Absolutely.
And that's why I do it. Like I said, I'm republishing
my
first
book.
You can't
do it for the money, not your first one. It's because most people don't have a big enough platform. So, you know, the only part about what I read on the Internet that I found to be true is that it's about 5% writing the book and 95% marketing the book. So if you're not prepared to market it, you're just making wallpaper.
Yep, because my first book was like that. I wasn't ready to market it, but it came out, and I sold about, you know, between 25 and 75 copies. I don't know exactly how many. But what's interesting is, and you can tell me about this also, if you start talking about the topic of your book, and that, like, my book is about myself, so I talk about my book and what the issues are in the book, and they're looking at me with these big old saucer eyes, and they're going, wow, you lived through that, and you did that, and you had this happen to you, and that happened to you, and they want to either talk to you more about it, or they want to know where they can get the book. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, best marketing, I believe, is just talking up the book, because if you have an interesting enough book, they're going to want to read the book or find out more about you, or where they can find out where the book is and stuff like that. So,
true. It's public appearances. I've done more with that, or radio interviews, speaker presentations, book signings. That's where my sales are coming from now that I've tapped friends and family. So I know that anytime I do something like that, there's a spike in sales, which is nice. So you have to be willing to get out there and be vulnerable and say, here's my book. Do you want to buy it? It's, you know, some people, that's really, really hard for them to do. They say, oh, my God, I hate public speaking, or I can't do the radio. Or yes, you can. Just get out there and do it. Book signings are fun and easy, and, you know, they need that personal contact with an author, because you're so unknown.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And what you're finding is that, or at least what I found with my topic, and you may agree with me or not, is that I'm never, ever afraid to speak out about the issue. And people are so ready to let their wall down to talk about their issues, because their issues are the same as my issues, but they won't talk about them until I mention it. Once I mention it, then the floodgates open, and we stand there for 20 minutes and talk about it. So,
that happens to me all the time. I love it.
Yeah, the Parkinson's disease is probably the same way. People won't talk about it, But once you open up the gate to talk about it and you say it's okay, they say, wow, I got someone I can depend on to talk about with and have a great time with. So let me ask you to do this for me while we have you here. Go ahead and give my listeners the information as to where they can buy your book, where they can find out about you and get in touch with you.
The easiest place would be Amazon.com. It's available in softcover and Kindle. And the other place is on my blog, which is laugh-lines.net. And you can order one off of there. And that also has all the rest of my goofy articles.
Sounds great to me. And definitely check out her website. She's got a lot of great information on there about the book and about herself. And you'll learn a lot, possibly, that you didn't know about. So, Vicki, I just want to say the quickest half hour I've ever spent with anybody. So,
this was a blast.
Thank you very much for coming on. And like I told you before we went on the air, if you want to come back on, I'm ready to spend another half hour to hour talking with you.
I would love it, Lloyd.
You know, so you stay dry out there in Hood River.
Thank you.
And,
Happy New
thank
Year.
You for, same to you. Thank you for coming on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Vicki Claflin. She is a 58-year-old woman who has the illness of Parkinson's disease and wrote a book called Shake, Rattle, Roll, and Roll With It, and makes a joke or makes humor out of having Parkinson's and doesn't let it control her life. And we'll be right back after these messages with our second guest.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Feeling burnt out or lost on where to go next? Feeling like you own a job instead of a business, or that your business is running you instead of you running it? Expert business advisor Mike Calderwood can help. Mike uses a personalized, strategic, and proven approach to help you identify what is and isn't working in your business. He'll then help you establish an action plan so your business can thrive. Mike Calderwood. Providing you straightforward solutions to gain a real advantage in your business. Learn more at MikeCalderwood.net.